Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Yvonne McQuinn. Welcome to I'm Ready for Me. I'm ecstatic you're taking this time for yourself and for your business. And we are halfway through the year. So I know that I've got goals set for myself and that I want this year to end up like no other. I've already done things that have astounded myself, and I hope you will too. I'm Ready for Me, and Adept Living is a philosophy of living your life as expertly and skilled and well-trained and as thoughtfully as you possibly can. And the thought behind it is that your life doesn't have to just happen to you. You can learn and use success strategies and systems that can enrich your life, and you can make that choice. Whether those life choices are about your health, your wealth, or yourself, the result will be that you will have a bolder, more dynamic life. And the process begins with discovering and focusing on what you envision for all areas of your future success, not just one area or the other. It's kind of like you don't want to over-exercise just one muscle. So you want to expand your horizons when you have those strategies and systems that will help you to handle change and set goals and problem solving and manage your resources. So let's jump in. What are you waiting for? Today we're going to talk about, I shouldn't forget that if you haven't, to click on the like button in the upper left-hand corner. Today we're going to talk about making time and space for change, because change is a funny thing. Believe it or not, you have to really make a conscious effort to find a place to put change in your life. Because so many things in your life are kind of on autopilot and on default setting. So if you want to, you know, make a change and still stay productive and still stay on course and stuff, then you have to really give some time and thought to that. And the thing that makes it more complicated is each change has a different dynamic to it in terms of, you know, what area of your life you're affecting. And so what should you look at when you're trying to reorganize your time? So time management isn't just about time, okay? So first, you need to take a look at your schedule. What can you change? What can't you change? It's also about your activities and your energy levels. And we're going to talk about time blocking, which is something that I discovered about 2 years ago that I've been using that has helped me to organize my time and kind of really surprised me where, you know, when I found out what areas I had free to do things, changed my thinking a little bit about how to spend my time. So part of this time blocking came about when I had to start watching my grandson, and that really changed my time. He, you know, got out of preschool at a certain time, which meant that my workday, for all practical purposes, seemed like it was stopping. I had no place to, you know, I had things I had to do with him. So that's what started this up. But what I really want to tell you is, you know, is emphasize again, is that the amount of discretionary time that we have changes based on where we are in life. And it also is kind of based on the number of people you have in your life, whether that's business or personal. And the more people you have, the more complex your life becomes, and the more it's really important to take a step back and take a look at what you can accomplish in what the time that you have. Because, you know, we all have 24 hours. It's really just a matter of how you use it. So we want to take a look at this, because the actual change that you're trying to make is tricky enough, all right? Finding the time to do it makes it even more complicated. And in both cases, when we get frustrated or we don't have a clear plan, we reset to our default. We reset back to what we were doing before. So let's take a look at what we're going to look at today. So we're going to talk about the change process, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the change window and how situational sometimes change is. I'm going to talk about the three elements of making time for change that we talked about before, the activity, the time, the activity, and your energy. And then I'm going to talk to you about time blocking. So let's get started. Just a quick review. We've talked about change before. You know, and change sometimes can be very misunderstood because people don't realize that it's not about beginning, it's about the endings and going, working your way through the neutral zone and then getting to the beginnings, okay? It's about changing, you know, raising your standards, right? Which means that you need to change your limiting belief, which means you need to change your strategy. So that's a lot, right? So let me just tell you about the change window. If you've never done this before, it's very simple. You basically draw four blocks. You know, you have a square and you divide it into four blocks. On the top left-hand corner, you're going to put things that I'm willing to change. And on the bottom, you're going to put things that I'm not willing to change. And across the top, you're going to put the things that are working well and the things that are not working well. So that top block is going to be things that I'm willing to change but and that are working well. And this is the area where you can make improvements. So maybe you are exercising already, but you decide you want to add some diversity or some different, you know, things to it. That would be where you would put that. In the block next to it, the things that are not working well that you're willing to change, this is where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. This is your change, your big change quadrant. So if, in case you're not exercising, that would be where you would put that. On the bottom left-hand corner are the things that you're not willing to change that are working well. And usually in this quadrant are things that have to do with your philosophy or religion or something that you're very, very, you know, you're just not willing to change. So if one of your goals might be that you want to lose weight, but you're a vegetarian, you're not willing to change being a vegetarian. You're not willing to eat meat. And so if part of the problem is that you have to have more protein, then you have to find another way to get that. And the other block that's left is things that are not working that I'm not willing to change. And that's your blind spot. That's the place where you really don't know that you've got a blind spot, and so you need somebody else to help you with that. And so these are, when you're looking to make a change, these are kind of a way for you to shift through things so you know how much effort and stuff that it takes to make the change that you're looking to make. And we change for two reasons. We change for pain or we change for pleasure, okay? Pain will make you change quickly. Pleasure will help you sustain a change. So as you come up with your reasons for change, it's important to see if you can find one that is pleasurable. So, you know, the example that I give a lot of time is if for some reason you don't pay your electric bill and the electric is cut off, the pain is, you know, is immense, and so you pay your bill right away. However, you'll keep paying your bill if you say to yourself, I'm not going to have my computer, I'm not going to have light, I'm not going to have, you know, all these things that make life worthwhile, you know. And so that's the pleasure part. That will make you, you know, keep going with the change to pay your bills on time. So one other thing that I want to add about change is that it's kind of a memory device, okay? So change. So C is with change comes consequences. And a lot of times they're unexpected consequences. H is habits. You have to have new behaviors and, you know, you need to keep from going back to the old habits. A is attitude. Like I said, if fearful, you tend to go negative. I don't know if I can do this, you know, that kind of thing. But if it's, you know, if it's pleasurable and, you know, you can make it so that you have a good time and you can enjoy it, the chances are good that you're going to keep the change going. N is needs. What are your priorities? What is inconvenient? You know, it can be inconvenient, sorry. But eventually with change, you're going to get good results. G is goal setting. You need to turn your action into incremental change. And E is empowerment. You have control over the process, and part of that control is your belief. So that's, you know, kind of the basis of change in itself. And then it also means that with the endings that you have to stop something or make room for something new. And so I want to talk about, you know, as you're making time for change, that there are three elements to this: energy, activity, and time. So you know, the first thing is the energy. There's certain times of the day that your energy is just higher than others. There are the morning people, and then there are the evening people, okay? And so you can get more done and be more productive if you're working with your natural rhythms, okay? So if you are more energetic in the morning, that's when you want to tackle your hard projects. If you are slower in the afternoon, that's when you kind of want to do some of your mundane things. So you want to learn to sync with your natural rhythm. And, you know, that means that you're connecting when your energy is high and resting when your energy is low. You know, realize pushing yourself to continue working during a low energy time can really cause mistakes and low performance, and you may not be getting anything done. So there are times when you have to do that, I know. So if you can learn ways that you can pump up your energy, that's a great thing. So, for instance, one of the things that I do is I'm taking part in this thing called the 100-Day Challenge, and there's a video every day. And the video is really very upbeat and has good music and stuff. So in the afternoon, if I'm feeling kind of low energy, I'll go back and, you know, replay one of those, and it kind of gets me pumped up. Some of the other things just in terms of managing your energy are to get rid of the things that are energy drainers. Okay, it could be a person or it could be a task. I mean, there, as a business person, there are some things that you don't need to do. You can hire somebody to do it. They would do it twice as fast probably as you. And I'm not talking about just the mundane stuff. I mean, I discovered a long time ago that when it comes to, you know, things on my website and some of those things, I'm just much better off. Even though I can do it if I suffer through it, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy for me to get it right. Like I said, you also need to find a habit that's going to help you, you know, with your energy. It can be something as simple, like I said, like listening to a recording. It could be doing Tai Chi or meditating or tapping, something like that. It's going to make you feel, you know, make your mind, your body, and your spirit feel better and make you healthier. Figure out what makes you happy, okay? I mean, that sounds weird, but, you know, you may not be able to be happy 24 hours a day, but it's important to do things that make you happy on a regular basis, so, because that's really why we're here. We're here to have a life of joy and to get things accomplished. So that's another part of getting rid of things that, you know, are not important. And so many of the tasks that are, you know, energy drainers are things that we think we should do. Okay, they're the things that, you know, when we were brought up that we think we should do. I know people who feel really guilty if they close the door to their office. I don't think that's bad at all. I think what it's doing is being honest with your employees. If you say to them, I need this hour and a half to get this project done, is there anything that you need, you know, that can't wait? If not, you know, I'll talk to you when I come out. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to feel like, you know, just because, you know, we were in a culture of the open door, you know, policy, that your door has to be open all, you know, all the time. Because there are things that you have to do that only you can do that you need to concentrate on. You will find that doing that, you will get whatever you're doing done in that hour and a half to 2 hours, where if you keep the open door policy, you know, it may take you a day. You know, and it may not be the quality that you want. So that's the first thing, is take a look at your energy. Be aware of when you work the best, when you do things the best, how you can, you know, build on that. And you may find that there are, you know, you may find that your energy peaks at a time that you didn't think it did. All right? So the other thing is, what kind of activities do you have? Okay? It's not uncommon for us to get to the end of the day and find that, you know, we still have all these projects on our desks, okay? And so there are two ways to take a look at this, all right? You know, there's the old story about time, about the professor who comes in and he's got, you know, this container, and he's got some sand and some pebbles and some rocks, and he wants them all to fit in the containers. And so he starts with the sand and the pebbles and the rocks, and they don't. But the bottom, you know, the way to do it is to put the big things in first, the pebbles in next, and then the sand will fill in the cracks, okay? And that's kind of what you have to look at with your day. If you spend all your time doing all the things that are non-essential, the sand stuff, all right, you're not going to get the big stuff done. The big stuff tends to take more time, and so you need to block out time to do that. The other thing is that I think it's also important to break big activities down into smaller pieces, because you look at something and you say, okay, I need to write my radio show. And you put it down as one thing. But in essence, it's really I have to pick a topic, I have to do research, I have to figure out what pieces of the research are interesting to me that I think somebody else might find interesting. There's also, as I'm doing the research, there's also other things that maybe are not right for the radio show but might make a web post, okay? So that big chunk, you know, you put it down as one thing, and, you know, in essence, it really is a lot of other things. And so you have to really take a look at that and break it down so that it makes more sense in terms of how you're doing that. One of the things that, you know, I mentioned the 100-day challenge, and one of the things that I learned with the 100-day challenge was you do a list of 10 activities that you're going to accomplish during the day, and I tended to do it chronologically when I first started. It was like 9 o'clock, I need to do this, 10 o'clock, 11:30, you know, and so forth and so on. And then when I, you know, my big projects or important projects that didn't have a time set for them ended up at the bottom of the list. And at the end of the day, they were still at the bottom of the list, all right? So what I started doing is taking my big projects and putting them at the top of the list and putting the chronological stuff at the bottom, because if you have a conference call at 10 o'clock, you're going to stop what you're doing and you're going to do the conference call. So that really is not the problem with managing your time. It's the things that you don't have a time for or you haven't set time aside for, the big important things that you are not getting done. So that's, you know, part of what's really important, okay? So look at the activities. And then, again, you know, the question is, what zone are you working in? Are you working in your zone of incompetence? Are you working in your zone of competence? Are you working in your zone of excellence? Are you working in your zone of genius? So, you know, it is really easy to spend a lot of time in your zone of incompetence, as opposed to saying, especially if you're starting a business, because you say, well, you know, I haven't got the money to pay somebody. But in essence, you can't afford to lose your time and creativity by not hiring somebody to do it. The zone of competence, right, is something that you can do, but you don't necessarily want to spend your time doing. The zone of excellence is something where you know, you are really good. And the problem with the zone of excellence is that you can get stuck there, which sounds counterintuitive. I mean, why not be stuck in the zone of excellence? And the reason is that you need to continue to grow. You might be excellent at something, but it may not be your zone of genius. And it's very easy to get complacent when you're in your zone of excellence, because you're going to get a lot of, you know, a fair amount of feedback, and it's comfortable because you do it well. So when you're looking at your activities, you need to decide, you know, which activities are the most important? What things can you delegate? What things can you put off? What things can you automate? That's another thing. I mean, one of the greatest, you know, I hired somebody to help me with my website and with the social marketing, which I am awful at, I admit it. And I said to her, it just is too time consuming to do a web post and, the, you know, go to Facebook, then to do this and to do that. And for less than an hour's work, she was able to, I can't tell you what she did because I don't know. I just know that it works. So when I post on my website, it automatically goes out to my list. It goes out to my Facebook. It goes out to my list. It goes to about 3 or 4 different places. But for me, I just have to make the one effort. And so that has automated that. So now I'm doing a lot more of that, not because I'm actually doing it, but because it's set up in a system that will do it. So automate as many of the tasks that you have so that it's easy to do, so that you don't have to think about it and it gets done. So that's activities, right? So you add the activity and you also add the energy. So now you're looking at two dimensions. You know, what activities need what kind of energy? So, for instance, returning phone calls to me doesn't require a lot of energy, or answering emails, right? Doing research doesn't require a lot of energy. Creating curriculum, or actually creating the radio show or the product, that requires energy, okay? So you want to make sure that you are using your energy on the right projects. You don't want to take your high energy time to do things that are mundane. So that's two of the three dimensions. And the last one is the one that we talk about all the time, and that is time. So there are a couple of things that, you know, I want to talk about in terms of time, and that is that we want to take a look at deadlines, we want to take a look at focus, we want to look at the actual time itself. So the sense of urgency and the power of deadlines, okay, can help you get a lot of things accomplished, okay? If you make a time commitment in which your goals have to be achieved, it takes as much time as you allow. So if you say this project can take me 3 hours, it'll take you 3 hours. If you say it's going to take you 2 hours, it'll take you 2 hours. So you need to develop a sense of urgency so that you can move quickly and base the amount of time that you give something, you know, you base that on the value of the project that you're working on. So you want to, you know, commit to it, you want to enforce it, and you want to be urgent. So one of the ways that you can do that, okay, is that you really take a look at, you really honor your deadlines. If you say, I'm only going to spend a certain amount of time on something, then you really do that. You can always go back to it later and, you know, put more time into it, but that you've actually worked through the whole project so that you know what's there and how much more time you need to give it. Okay, focus is another thing. When you break things down into time chunks, it allows you to focus, right? It allows you to direct your energy and to really concentrate on one thing so that you're going to follow one course until you've completed that time, until you've completed that task. And that's really important because we get so scattered. Sometimes we've got to answer the phone. We've got to look at our text. We've got our email. We've got all these things that are, you know, that are coming in and taking our focus away from things, not to mention the people. And as you heard, my dog, and all those other things. So you want to be able to focus in the time that you have. All right. Now, when you actually get to the time, there are, you know, 24 hours in a day. About 8 of those you're going to use for sleep. So you have the rest to actually get something done. I talked about dividing and conquering when you come to a problem, right? So, you know, the more you can break down the task so that it fits into smaller intervals of time, the more you're going to get accomplished. The other thing that I find helpful is I call it the planning compass. So the planning compass is east, south, west, and north. And so you might want to write this down. East is everything. If I have a today, this is something that I have to get everything done on, that I have to get it completed, that I have to, you know, finish it up. S is something. You know, something is I have to get something done on it. I have to move it forward. I have to tell somebody else about it. Something has to be done on it. W, West, is whatever. I'm not really planning on doing anything, but if something happens, I will. And N is nothing. And that just means that not in this cycle, not today. It'll be moved to someplace else on another day, but that's that. The other thing that helps me a lot is instead of planning by the hour, I plan 45 minutes. So what I do is I plan to start something. I'm going to finish it in 45 minutes, and then I've got 15 minutes to do some odds and ends, right, and get back to it. If you do this, you know, you can basically gain, if you have a 45-minute hour, you basically can gain 2 extra hours a day, all right? I don't really suggest that you do that for a full day because you will be working like a crazy person. You will lose your mind, and you'll be exhausted. But it is a good thing to do for a period of time because it'll help you to get everything done, okay? So that's the time thing. Thomas Leonard, who was a successful financial planner and business entrepreneur, says that time is an illusion. There is no such thing as time management. There's only activity management in the time that we're given. And I think that that's really true. You know, it's how much activity can you get done, in that a lot of time is directly correlates with your, you know, your energy and the activity. And one of our biggest challenges is that sometimes we can be really too emotional about our business and our life. So it makes sense, you know, that makes sense because we're passionate about what we're doing. But at the same time, having a system to break that time issue down can help you cover a lot more bases and identify, you know, where you need to improve. Okay, so that's one of the reasons I kind of came up with time blocking, was because, as I said, this happened when I first had to take care of my grandson. And, you know, I just found it really hard to do. I mean, I was getting at the end of the day. I had nothing accomplished. I was exhausted, you know, and the time that I had with him was not really very pleasurable. And so I thought, I need to really take a look at this. So you may want to take a piece of paper and do this. One of the things that you're going to see when you do this is that you can do this in as simple or as complicated as you want to, okay? So the first part of this is simply to draw out, you know, your week, right? You're going to do 7 columns across and a number of columns down. The 7 columns across are going to be the days of the week. Now, the first thing is we're trying to change habits. And so most of the time when you have a calendar or something like that, you tend to say, you tend to start the week with Sunday or Monday. So the first thing I'm going to say to you is don't do that. Find a different day to start your week on. So for me, I find that Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday tend to fill up with stuff. You know, I've got standard meetings in those days, you know, Wednesday staff meetings. I've got some things that happen on Monday and Tuesday. Let's say, for instance, I've got clients. And so the first thing that I really have clear to really do work on my work is Thursday. And I've experienced this over and over again, not just with now, but even when I'm working, you know, when I worked for, you know, I worked a job, I found that Thursday was the day that I could finally kind of catch my breath and say, so when I do my days of the week, I start with Thursday. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like that, across the page. Then you want to go down. All right, so you want to, when you do this initially, you may want to go by the hour. You know, you get up at 6 o'clock and go all the way to like 11, you know, or whatever. And then as you start to work through it, you'll find that you have some regular blocks. All right, so in my case, you know, an easy example is 11 at night to 7 is sleep. I just crunch them all together. 7 to 10 o'clock tends to be, you know, a work frame for me. And then it's 10 to 12, then 12 to 2, then it's 2 to 4:30, 4:30 to 6:30. So, you know, you can make them uneven as you sit down and take a look at your time, all right? So you want to start with the things that you can't change, right? So when you do your blocking, you want to put in previous commitments that you have. Let's say you're taking a class on Thursday night. So that you want to block out because you've already made the commitment to do that. If you're working a 9-to-5 or whatever hours you're actually at your job, you want to put that down. You know, block that out. If you have family activities that you have to do, you want to block that out. Now, for me, I'm a very visual person, so I tend to color code everything. So my business things I put in, you know, light blue. My health I put in light green, and so forth and so on, right? So that when I look at it, now, to continue with the story, one of the things that I realized was I had to block out the time that I was watching my grandson. And when I looked at it, I realized it was a lot of time. When we first started, I had to pick him up at 11:30, and I had to watch him till 5. You know, so if I have to leave the house at 11, we're talking 6 hours a day. That's like 30 hours a week. I mean, when I first did this, it was like, well, darn, no wonder. You know, I'm falling behind on everything else. How many hours have I got left to put into my business? I mean, this was kind of like getting a job, right? So I was like, okay, I know he's not here in the morning. I need to get started earlier in the morning. So that's why it started with the 7 o'clock. So from like 7 to 12, you know, roughly, I could do business, really 7 to 11. So that was like 4 hours. So I needed to find another 20 hours a week that I could work on my business. Now, traditional thinking would be, you know, we work Monday through Friday. But what I discovered was that since he wasn't here over the weekend, that I could put in a fairly good chunk of time on Saturday and Sunday. And the good news was that there were no distractions. I didn't have to return business phone calls, that type of thing. And I found that I actually got more done. So my energy was good, my concentration was good, my time frame was good. Now, you know, I don't work every Saturday all day, and most of the time I only work in the mornings, okay? But my point being was that was 4 hours that I might not have used as productively going forward. I put in time for exercise. So most of the time I like to, you know, now that his schedule has changed, my schedule can change, and I can exercise sometime between 1 or 2 o'clock and go over to the Y or go swimming and that kind of stuff before I have to pick him up now, like at 4. So that became the time that was for exercise. Like I said, you want to put in the things that you're already committed to. So, for instance, I have group coaching on Thursday morning. So that goes in. I have a product call on Wednesdays at 2:30. That goes in. And so you start to color code these things, and then you start to see where you have blank spaces. So the question is, what do you want to use those blank spaces for? Do you need to put more time in for a particular part of your business? So one of the things that I did was some of the blank spaces that were later in the days, that's what I put in to do planning and research and writing. So for me, at 9 o'clock, it's easy for me to take up my computer, put on a TV show, take a look at my schedule, play around with that a little bit, maybe do some research, go find a couple articles on different things. I've discovered that I don't really do a lot of writing. I will do some, if I've already written something, I'll go back and take a look at it. But that is the time, that's how I make that time useful for me, okay, later in the day, especially if I have a day when, you know, I haven't been able to do a lot of that stuff. The other part that I look at is, as an entrepreneur, I figure there are three parts to my day. There's the morning, there's the afternoon, there's the evening. And I try really hard not to work more than two of those if I can. Like if I'm working a morning and an afternoon, I don't worry about doing too much in the evening. You know, I want to do something really lightweight, if anything at all. If I have something I have to do in the morning and I only work in the afternoon and the evening, then I'm much more focused that way. So when you finish doing this, you're going to see that you've got a color, you know, patchwork of things. And you're going to find that there's some things that, some areas that are open, okay? And so you may not, you know, it may be that they're, you know, in my case, light blue is work. But you can take a look, and the first thing that happened for me was, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was putting in more than 30 hours a week in my business. And so I had to find other places that I could do that, you know, than just the afternoon. And so Saturday, it started me working on Saturdays and Sundays, which has been very productive for me because, like I said, it's like having a closed-door policy because, you know, there's no toddler in my house. I don't have to return business calls and that kind of stuff. It drives everybody else in the world crazy because I tend to send lots of emails over the weekend. And so other people are like, you know, I have to explain to them, if you get an email from me, you don't have to open it till Monday unless it says urgent or something like that. It's just that this is a time that I get to think and get to catch up on things. The other thing that I realized was that Friday became perfect date night. Not so much that it was Friday, but it was also the night that we didn't have to watch my grandson and my daughter was working. So that was the night that we had the house to ourselves. If I would have discovered the same thing if it had been, you know, a Thursday night or something like that, but I wouldn't have thought about it, I don't think. So I blocked in date night. And that's been interesting because we actually have done things together on it, you know. I've gotten my husband's commitment to buy into that. And it isn't necessarily that we're doing anything really fabulous or, you know, but that we're taking some time just to be with each other and to decompress from the week. So that's worked well. Now, the thing that you need to know is that this whole thing is of making time and is situational. The time blocking that I did for when my son was only in school half day is not the same one that I use now that, you know, he's in school until the afternoon. Now that the summer is here, it's somewhat different again. And so this is not something that's carved in stone, but it is a way for you to be able to say, okay, this is what my day is like. Today is Tuesday. I've got, you know, a partner call. I've got these other things. I've got, you know, this block of time to work on business. You know, these blocks, you know, from 7 to 7, I'm pretty open on this day, particular day on Tuesday, to do some things. What are my projects? I even put in a couple of squares for me time so that it just was, you know, it felt right. So, for instance, you know, I have a bunch of I have a staff meeting and another meeting, and then I have something that I have to do at 2:30, and I just need to decompress after all that's over before I can do anything else, let's say with the family, or do anything else. So I give that to myself as me time. So my categories. So like I said, you're going to do 7 columns cross. That's going to be your weeks. Actually, you do 8. I'm sorry, because you need one for time. And so mine starts with Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You need several blocks going down depending how big you want to make your blocks, right? And then you need some goals so that you can, you know when you want to do it. So mine were business, health, family time, house projects. I made a separate category for planning, research, and writing, which I called PRW. Sleep and date night and me time. And you can work that out in such a way, and like I said, if you're a visual person and you color code this, you're going to see a whole lot of stuff, right? So let's go back just real fast and just recap, okay? When you want to make a change, not only do you have to work through the change process itself, right? You know, the first part of that is the ending something, right? The ending or making room. And part of that making room is time. And so it's really important that you realize that and also realize that your default when you get tired or when you're not thinking, you're going to go back to your default setting, whatever that is, because you've done it for a long time. So it takes time to change that. The other thing is, when you're looking at managing this, you're looking at your energy, you're looking at the activity, and you're actually looking at the time. So you take those three things, and you find that some activities require less of your energy, and so you can put it at a time when you are less energetic. Other things require a lot more energy, and some of them, you know, are situational, too. For instance, you can be very low energy and at your office and you still have to perform. Okay? So that's one of those times when, you know, you wouldn't give yourself like, you know, an A for managing all the elements, but it has to be done. So you want to be able to counterbalance that with sometimes when you are very high energy that you are doing high energy things, that you, you know, you want to get rid of those energy drainers or those things that you feel like you should do. You want to make sure that you're working on projects. If you are an entrepreneur, particularly, you want to make sure that you spend the time on the projects that are going to grow your business, okay? You need to do things that are going to maintain your business as well, but you want to grow your business. You want to always make sure you're doing something that's going to keep new business in the pipeline and make sure that you're keeping the customers that you've got, the clients that you've got. Try the time blocking. I found it very helpful. It helped me to really visually see where I was spending my time and losing time. It helped me to put things in perspective. So, for instance, you know, my house projects typically are on Saturday because that's, you know, Saturday afternoon because that's when my husband's home. And, you know, if I need help with those projects. So I may be working on, you know, I may get him started on something. I may get him started on something, then I go work in my office, and then in the afternoon, I help with it too. So there's a situational component to your time blocking as well. Okay, so your assignment is to make a big plan for yourself. It's going to create urgency and get good results. So you want to first decide the things that you want to change. You know, what do you want to spend more time on? What do you want to spend less time on? You want to take a look at, you know, when you're looking at the activities, you want to take a look at your energy level. Then you want to lay out the blocking chart so that it meets your needs. You know, maybe you're an early morning person, so maybe your chart starts at 5 in the morning. Maybe, you know, 5 in the morning is your exercise time. So divide the blocks out in a way that makes sense, that meets your needs. And see how you can rearrange your activities, remembering to consider your, you know, the activity, the energy, and the time. And you'll start to see that you can put all this together in a way that actually, as crazy as this sounds, makes sense. And again, I want to remind you, when you lay this out, don't start with Sunday or Monday. I mean, those are very traditional things. When I tell people about starting a diet, I tell them, don't start on Monday. That's the old way. That's the way that you've done it so many times in the past, and you failed at it. Again, Thursday is the day that for me is, you know, seems to work because Thursday gives me a chance to, you know, I've got the beginning of the week to plan on what I'm going to do. Thursday is the day that I start. I have time to make adjustments. If I haven't got everything I need, I can still run to the store on Friday. And then I have the weekend to, like, work it through. So try starting your week with a different day. Okay, I think that you're going to see different results. You know, that'll add in. If you keep doing what you were doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. So that would be the next thing. Okay, so see how you can rearrange that week. The other concept that you might think about is I know people who work from home. And so their week is they may work Monday through Thursday and they have Friday off. And so I tell them to consider the fact that you have two work weeks. If you're working for somebody else and you have your own, you know, your own business. So Monday through Thursday is the company's work week, but Friday through Sunday is yours, all right? So to plan accordingly, all right? So see how you can rearrange things. And then the other thing is that's really simple is backwards planning. I think I've talked about this before, but it's a great way to use it for your blocking. To the things that are really important, put them in as close to the process, the beginning of the process as you can. And the other thing is, don't put it off. I mean, one of the things that I'm learning is that the speed of implementation is how quickly you're successful at something. The faster you do something, the faster you use new information, the faster you're going to get results. And the more it increases your confidence and your competence. So it definitely is worth doing. So let's see. I think we touched on everything. We touched on energy. We touched on change. We touched on energy, activity, and time. We touched on time blocking. We touched on backwards planning and backwards goal setting. And the idea with that is to start with your ultimate objective. So when you're doing the time blocking, your ultimate objective might be to carve out some time for yourself to relax. It may be to carve out some time for yourself to do something else. And so starting at the end first is going to be the way to help you do that. Okay? And I think that brings us to the end of our time. I mean, this is a lot of information. It may not have been exciting, but the results are exciting. And so the question is, you know, how are you going to use what you learned? And there's one then more than one way to do that. Oh, I'm so sorry. So I keep the show under 50 minutes so that you've got a good 10 minutes to start. You can start implementing what you learned. And the question is, how important is it? How much effort are you willing to put into it? And if you take a couple minutes right now to do that. So do the time blocking. You're going to love the results that you get. It's easy to do if you're, you know, in any way a visual or kinetic learner, you're going to love the results that you see. And so I hope that it's going to help you to, you know, to carve out the time that you need for the change that you want to make, whether that change is getting some additional education, whether that change is spending more time on marketing, whether that change is spending more time with your family, regardless what it is. This is one way that will, in a concrete manner, help you to do that. So I am so glad you came. I hope you get some good results very quickly from this. My goal is to help you to turn your dreams into goals and your goals into plans and your plans into specific actions. So be sure you ask yourself, what are you going to do differently and how fast you're going to do it, and get your plan in action. Okay, so from I'm Ready For Me and Yvonne McCoy, remember to be empowered, design your life for ease, and have a formula that works for you. You know, I'm ready for me to be healthy, wealthy, and alive. I'm ecstatic. Be sure you click the like button. And until our next show, I hope that you're ecstatic too. Bye.